They're bros. They're dads. One is big ball sack Harry J. Riley. The other is cautionary tale Philip Kupczynski. Welcome to Bro Dads.
I mean, the Gonzaga guys might not be making six figures, but, you know, like, the big guy from North Carolina State, I can't remember his name, but got really famous during this past tournament, bringing in six figures now.
Yeah, why leave college if you're making money playing college ball and you're like the top dog?
Yeah.
Then you're going to go to the league and then probably it's more than likely you're going to disappear in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the reality of sports.
Drew
Timm,
he didn't even get drafted, but he was probably making like shitty dentist money, you know? So, I mean, I wouldn't see. I think it's had two effects. One, it keeps kids in school longer and it makes them, because most of the time these guys who are like, they're going to be one and done.
Yeah.
A lot of them, a vast majority of them are not ready. And so they're just going to sit in the NBA for 3 or 4 years, get a reputation for not being that good, and then just sit on the bench for the next decade.
If that, yeah.
Yeah, and now you're making probably, you know, league minimum, which is still a lot of money. But if you would have just stayed in college for 2-3 years, be the fucking god
yeah,
of the
right.
campus, make six figures, get better, and then you go into the NBA, and now, you know, your potential profits increase.
Yeah, the NIL deals, I mean, if you know, that's like they can get pretty hefty. If you're a star at March Madness, your sophomore and junior year,
yes.
You got another year of, you know, potentially going up to like a seven-figure deal with if there's enough, you know, if you have a good enough agent and everything.
Yeah. Just ask the guy from North Carolina State. He was, you know, a good player, but people loved it. He was a big-ass dude. Like, he looked like an offensive tackle, but he was just out there, like, fucking turning and doing all kinds of crazy shit that you wouldn't ever expect a fat guy to do, and people fell in love with him. And I think he's a junior. I bet you he stays in school, makes another $100,000-$200,000. He probably will be like a second round draft pick because the NBA is not looking for a 6'9"
fatty.
300. Yeah. You know, you got to be, the NBA is a different beast. I don't think people understand.
Yeah.
Just how much further professional sports are just from college, which has the mutants from your school playing.
Yeah.
And then
all the mutants come together for the league. Yeah.
It's insane.
Well, that's the fun. I mean, that when people are like, well, you know, I don't like the professional league because, you know, college is more pure. And it's like, so you don't want to watch the best in the world.
Yeah.
Like, you look at highlights from a college ball, you're like, oh, look, that guy did a sick layup. And then you look at the highlights of every NBA game, you're like, oh, that guy just rubbed his nutsack on a dude's face while he was launching from the free throw line. Oh, these guys that would have been freak shows in a Barnum and Bailey circus a year ago. I mean, and even the guys that aren't, I mean, the Jokic guys that are, you know, like the no look passes and like the way that he moves, it doesn't look athletic at all, and he's just going over everybody. I mean, it's great.
Him and Luka Doncic, I fuck his name up all the time. Those are two. I love them so much because they're basically playing uncle ball in
the NBA.
Yeah, like I watched a game with him at the cabin.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And he's walking up the, and it's like, he looks like he was on a bender last night.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh shit, I had a game. Oh. And he scored 71 that game.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's so crazy. I mean, and the strides of those guys is so insane. And I have no interest. Like, someone was like, oh, the NFL draft is happening this week. I was like, I don't know a single college NFL player, except for maybe that quarterback at UW. But I wouldn't recognize his name. Oh, welcome to Brodads, by the way.
Welcome to Brodads.
Oh, I'm going to get this out of the way. Seattle, Capitol Hill, this weekend.
Capitol Hill. I am
at Club Comedy. And if you follow me from Looney Bin days, I'm going to be back in Wichita the following weekend. Yeah, it's gonna be nice. Three nights in Wichita. I'm going to feel like a real comic traveling around the country doing comedy gigs.
Yeah, there's something to be said about going, you know, to other side of the country and doing well, or, you know, not.
Well, we'll see how it goes. Doing well, TBD. It's gonna be nice to kind of get out there in the world. I feel like I'm on this streak of, like, once a year, I'm like, I'll leave the Pacific Northwest to see how it goes out there. So I'm going to have some barbecue turkey and probably just stay in the hotel most of the time. I don't, you know, Wichita, I've been this third time I've gone to Wichita to do comedy. Okay. And there's like a million barbecue joints and then just a swamp, I think, and a bunch of old buildings. That's the whole town.
Holy shit, that's
you're like, man, it's cheap to live here. And you're looking around like, man, I'd rather be homeless in the Pacific Northwest. not disparaging your city, but I just feel like last time I went there, the most interesting thing I saw was a family of ducks crossing the street. Yeah, dude, I was in rural Western Washington last weekend, and it was good. But I've never been to this part. It's like an hour north of Portland.
Okay.
And this gig, it was like, okay, go to this super small town, and then go to the edge of town, and then take a road deep into a field, and then here's a little barrel that shows you where the winery is. Turn here. And I'm like, is this in a dude's backyard? And it was like another half mile off of the road that was already way out there. Yeah. Dude, yeah. But then you get back in there. It looked like a wedding venue, you know. It was nice. It was good. It was good to do. It was good to do a gig like that.
So they were just like putting on an event?
They do a monthly show there now. So they're doing monthly shows. They got next month is Susan Rice. And the booker I was talking to, he's like, I think this might be the last time. There's a good chance it's the last time she works with us. Because, you know, I've heard AGT. She got an AGT. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
Susan Rice, local Pacific Northwest legend. Been a comic for 30, 40 years. But she got a Don't Tell. And then now she got on AGT. It's been filmed. So if she's talking about it, then it probably went well.
Yeah.
So if you have a set that moves you to the next round as an AGT comic, there's a good chance that clubs and venues are going to start reaching out to you.
Yeah. Man, that is just why comedy is so goddamn disgusting.
Why?
She's been a great comic for 30,
yeah, but how
40
if
years.
No one's ever heard of her, how can you expect them to know about her?
I mean, she was in LA.
That doesn't mean shit, dude. I've known fucking 50 people in LA just sitting around, you know, doing hallucinogenics and doing comedy three times a week.
Man, those people, they deserve their fate.
That was her. It just replaced hallucinogenics with cake or whatever. I mean, just because you're in LA doesn't mean shit. You know, like, and that's another thing. That's like going to the NBA. Like, now you're around all the big dogs. Like, you're around all the best comics, not just in America. Like, I mean, you got like the best comic in Croatia coming to LA. You got the best, you know, and they're like, I took three Duolingo courses and now I'm ready to make it in America. So you get, I mean, you're, you know, I remember one time I was in LA and this guy who was British would be like, get a suggestion from the audience. And then he would freestyle rap for like 3 minutes and it was unreal. I mean, it wasn't funny. Like, I wouldn't call it stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
But it's the kind of thing that would a stand-up comedy club would book.
Yeah.
And I was like, and apparently this dude was like already kind of famous in the UK. And so he's, you know, like now you're competing with this wizard who can just create a narrative off the cuff, it was more like an improv show.
Yeah.
It was funny. Then I saw him in a commercial like a year later, like a big national commercial, like for Blue Moon. And I don't know what happened to that guy. He got that Blue Moon money and
drank all the free Blue Moon.
Yeah. Well, I got to believe like, that's a skill that, like, once you see the first time you see it, you're like, holy shit. And then the next time the guy comes around, you're like, I've seen this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a lot of those acts on AGT where it's like, who's planning a trip to Vegas to see a bunch of people on BMX bikes ride around?
I don't think anybody's planning to go to them. I think people will go to Vegas and they're like, oh shit, let's go to this. I remember this. Like, that's like a thing that it just creates brand recognition. Because they're like, oh, yeah, I mean, the prize seems like a lot of money. It is. $1 million over a year is a lot of money. But for a Vegas residency where you're doing five to seven shows a week,
yeah,
dude. Like, the real winner is the theater that has the contract with AGT, because they got all this free AGT advertisement that creates brand recognition. And now you got this guy, you know, with his puppet for a year that's a contract to you.
I mean, shit, you don't even need to win, because I was at the Luxor and they had here's the AGT Rejects.
Yeah.
Oh, some guy just spitting water out of his mouth.
There is a theory that I have heard that some people realize it's better to not win when they're getting to the end. Because if you win, you get $1 million year-long contract. But after that year, you've only performed. You haven't gotten notoriety. Like the way to capitalize on AGT is you get that credit, you're hot. Now it's like meet with every, you know, if there's a production company that wants to work with you, follow that project and try to like strike while the iron is hot. Yeah. But if you're locked into this year long contract, that's a big payday for you.
Yeah.
But like at the end of that, your tour might not be as successful. Yeah. So even though you get that $1 million, you know, you might be better off going, okay, well, what if I just tour and shoot to make 200 grand, but then I can keep coming back to these towns because now they've seen me live and they like me.
Yeah.
Why not just now I can make 200 grand a year for the next 10 years or continue to build on that?
Oh, that contract's probably got a exclusivity clause.
That's what I mean. Well, and even if it's not, you're gonna be so goddamn busy.
Yeah.
How the hell are you gonna have time to go meet with agents or go on the road to other places or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's,
I mean, look at every comic that's done well on that. I mean, look at every comic that hasn't done well on that. I mean, Zoltan didn't do well on
that. He's doing great.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing bad that can, people worry about bombing. Dude, no one remembers the bombing comic on AGT.
No.
And You're almost, I mean, I think there's even a guy that like started roasting everyone and they all X'd him out. And that helped him tremendously.
Yeah,
like,
he looked like a dandy from Victorian. Yeah.
Yeah. He comes out in flashy pants. He looks like a lot of people who just go to Hollywood and lose their mind.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He's like, I'll start wearing a cape now. that guy's a friend of a friend of ours.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Lance Paul and him are tight.
Oh, wow. Good gracious.
Yeah, yeah. So I can't think of that dude's name. Hooper. That's his name. Hooper. So if she just gets a, you know, which I'm sure she'll, I mean, I you think about AGT.
They are not X-ing her.
No, and they're going to like her a lot because she's very funny. So yeah, she could, you know, it's fine. There's something I went 4 days. 4 days, 3 hotels, I bet 1,500 miles in the car. And by Sunday, I spent the night Sunday and came back Monday.
Yeah.
I was like, bro, I'm like, my body was just like, ugh. Like I was dragging, you know? Shit. And I was like, what? How do you handle that at 70? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm in pretty decent shape. I was like sore. Like, I didn't even work out. Well, I did. I guess I worked out, but I was like, man, I was just dragging, dude.
I mean, I traveled with Jay when he, you know, those last couple of years. And
was he in his late 60s then?
Oh, he was in his 70s.
God, that dude's
and
old.
And it's a chore, man. I mean, it takes them like 3 hours to get rolling. You know, they're up, but they're still laying down. And then they sit up, and then they actually get up, and then they're wandering around looking for glasses or medicine, then go in the bathroom and do whatever they're doing in there for 45 minutes, then comes out and then goes, oh, we should be on the road in 20 minutes. And it's like, you don't even have pants on. What are you talking about? and then 2 hours later, you're finally on the road. You need an assistant. I mean, that's what was going on with Jay until him and his wife split. She was like an Australian shepherd, you know, and she only was in charge of one sheep. And she just had to like, yep, come on, let's go. Here's your pants. Here's your medicine. Here's your orange juice.
Well, that's a lot of relationships, though.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a lot of, especially women that have to kind of, you know, like keep the husband like, hey, wake up, go to work, make money for us so I can live. like that's, you know, I was talking to someone about, you know, doing these runs. They're like, God, I can't imagine like repacking and unpacking, you know? And I was like, you know, in the world of husbands, I am gotta be top 1% packing. So I know there's a lot of dudes out there that like, can't like, you, like if there's a vacation, they're like, their wife packs for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, dude, there was a guy who used to live in our neighborhood and, couple of his kids babysat for us when the kids were little. And one time his wife went to go like visit a relative. His relative was sick or something. This dude was like falling apart. He's like, I don't know. I guess I gotta figure out how to feed these kids. It's like, what were you doing before you had kids? Were you just, did you not know? How did you feed yourself, dude? Just do that times five.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I have such a, there was a thing like weaponized incompetence. Have you heard it trended?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like when guys are like, it's like, oh, do the dishes. And the guy loads the dishwasher all shitty. And he's like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Which I think is dumb. I think it's more like these guys that just like, if the kid gets left with them, they call their wife 10 times while she's trying to have drinks with her friend or something. And they can't be left. What's funny though, man, it's like, I knew this guy, he was in the military. He was, he had a son, his daughter got born while he was deployed. Okay. He came back after like a year and a half.
Was it his?
Yeah. Cause he got deployed. She was born like a month later. And so he's gone for like at least 9 months, maybe longer. 9 months, a year now. He was gone for a long time. I mean, she was damn near walking by the time he came back.
Damn.
And, dude, we were having a big barbecue. Welcome back. He goes, I've been here for 10 days. I'm ready to go back.
God damn.
He's like, I just can't. He's like, it's chaos. I got to watch out for these kids. They're screaming. It is. And he goes, I mean, you know,
that's sad, man.
He's like, our base would only take fire every once in a while. this is constant.
Damn. Isn't that hilarious? That is sad, man.
Yeah, I know too. Well, I felt like kids, especially when they were younger, it was easy. It's like when they start making decisions, like, oh, I'm going to, you know, oh, there's a kid selling Molly and I can buy a bunch from him and make more money, and, you know, and then I got to come in and be like, all right, we'll do it at a different school. You know, I got, Dude, so I, Emmett came back last night. We were in bed. I'd been gone for a while and I'm in bed with Amanda and Emmett's going to bed. He comes in, he goes, "Hey mom, I didn't want to bug you because I know this kind of grosses you out, but I thought I should tell you, you know that marmot skull that I found in the woods on my camp out this weekend? I looked up a way to sanitize it in isopropylene alcohol. And if you want, I will pay you back for the alcohol that we used." And Amanda and I are like, "You mean rubbing alcohol? This shit's like nothing. It's like $3 for a 5-gallon jug or whatever. I don't know. I mean, it's not a lot of money." But then he goes, I was like, "What container did you use?" And he's like, "Oh, I used one of the mason jars." And then a man's like, "You mean one of the gallon mason jars that I have to like order from a canning website?" Like, she's like, "Well, that's garbage now. Like, there's no way we're going to be able to can shit." And it's like, "Oh, which one was, did we keep the marmot skull in?"
I just rinse it out. It'll be all
right. I mean, that I was, well, you know what's funny? So then she's like, "I don't think," I'm like, I'm even like, "Dude, I'm pretty loosey goosey with, like, if I see a sandwich, you know, if I like left a sandwich in my car, a man would be like, 'It's been there for 6 hours.' I'm like, yeah, good. Then now it's nice and hot." You know, I like my mayo to steam a little. But dude, a fucking rodent's head in a jar, I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I want to eat out of that ever again.
Yeah, especially because marmots can carry a bubonic plague. So.
Yeah, well, if that was the case, there'd be 5 dead scouts right now. but there was part of me, I'm like, I don't know, I feel like that. Then, so while they was in there, I Googled, how do I sanitize a mason jar after a marmot skull has been in there? And I'll tell you what, I've always been a fan of Google, but they failed me on this one.
The reply was, "Emmett? Again?"
Is this Emmett Kopczynski? God damn, that's funny. Yeah, so I don't know. Boy Scouts isn't all it's cracked up to be. It's funny because I know the dads were like, "Cool." But like, if there had been one mom on that trip, that they would have been like, "Oh, I mean, not cool. Yeah. That's, you don't want a rodent skull.
Is that sanitary?"
Time these kids like found a squirrel that was kind of slow or something. And so they like killed it with like sticks and a boomerang or some shit.
What the?
And then they were going to try to cook it. You know, because boys out in the woods, like, that's good. Don't make a sad face.
No, not at the squirrel. Eating squirrel, go ahead.
Yeah.
But not the slow squirrel.
Well, you try to catch a regular pace squirrel. This is what hunters do.
Well, what if it has prions or something?
Oh, no.
And you get the shakes?
No, I had, like, missing toes.
It was a deformed squirrel.
I mean, well, probably just got in a fight. A territorial battle,
that
lost.
That motherfucker was missing a chromosome and they was gonna chomp down on it.
Yeah, so anyway, they were going to try to eat this Down syndrome squirrel. And what was funny is, like, the dads were like, "Nice, you killed it. Oh, that's great." But then once the moms found out, it became, like, a big deal. Like, "We don't go into nature to kill it." And, like, all the dads are like, "Well, I mean, during hunting season, we do." You know? So, yeah,
that's what nature's for us to kill.
Oh, yeah, dude, conquer it. Yeah.
Nature's killing itself all the time.
I love Nature's Metal. Do you watch that Instagram channel?
Oh, yeah.
And there's always like someone who's like, "Why aren't you helping the animal?"
Yeah, it's, oh my God.
And now it's like a joke. Like, people write that as a joke. But there are people who are like, "How dare you film this for," and it's like, what? You think you want to step between a cougar and a deer? Is that the plan that you've got? Yeah, that shit is so funny to me when people like, I mean, listen, I don't get PETA advocating for like no like eggs or chicken meat. Because if all of a sudden everybody was like, "Hey, listen, let's enact PETA's laws into society," and you completely eradicate all, you know, eggs and chicken meat, that will be the end of that species.
Yeah.
I mean, are they just going to go out into the woods and live? They would be dead so quick.
Yeah, that's the only purpose for chickens.
You would just have a bunch of diabetic coyotes for about a couple of years. They'd be eating so good, dude. I guess coyotes would be becoming wolves after that. I mean, if you got 20 million, I don't know how many, you got tens of million, maybe over 100 million chickens in the United States at any given time. And if all of a sudden everybody was like, you know what, PETA? Good choice. And then it'd be like a couple of people that started chicken farms, and then 3 days later they'd be like, fuck this.
The same with like cattle, you know?
Yeah, what would cattle do without it? Like, they cows would they exist?
Cows are not a thing.
Yeah.
We made them.
For an animal that big, like, a bull is scary.
Yeah.
But a lady cow, I think I could, if I took 2 years of judo. I'm not even saying black belt. I'm purple belt judo. I don't know if I can kill it, but I can make it tap out.
Now that's pay-per-view right there, man.
That'd be so funny. Man versus cow. Guys are like, wait, is that a dairy cow? Easy.
Just you need one of those butchering cows.
Yeah, you need a butcher. Yeah, because, I mean, it'd be easy to take down a dairy cow. You do a titty twister times six, dude. They can't. How are they gonna combat that?
Man, that's the thing with organizations like PETA, is that, you know, I guarantee you, if you look back, it started out with just like, let's make sure these animals in movies aren't, you know, just jumping off of cliffs and shit.
Yeah.
And they let one radical in who is like insane. And was like, no, if you take a photo of a dog, that's animal abuse. And they're like, whoa, now. You can take photos of animals. I take photos of my dog all the time. You shouldn't have any pets. Those are slaves now. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? I mean, you know, we are part of nature. So it's weird to me how we pick and choose when we want to be a part of nature and separate from nature. If you're gonna be separate from nature, then that means you can't dabble in the let me have a pet, let me eat all the cows and chickens. But because we're nothing but really cool ass apes, you know, unlike these old nasty fuckers with their dinglings hanging out. We do. That's just a part of us. Eating meat is a part of being a human, as it is for a chimpanzee that eats meat. I mean, great apes, except for gorillas, they eat meat. And gorillas, you know, they'll throw a mouse in the out there once in a while. It's just...
Did I say, and they're not, you know, they're very mean.
Yeah.
I saw a crow get beat to death by two chimpanzees at the Seattle Zoo once.
They are savage.
And I don't think they were doing it to eat it. They weren't even hungry. They were just killing time.
They let us back in.
Yeah. Well, it was weird. They did have nets in there. And, you know, crow's pretty smart.
Yeah.
There's a part of me, because if you spend some time in Seattle, there's a good chance you've been messed with by crows.
Yeah.
Especially if you're walking down the street with a burrito. Because it's crazy. They come at you in, like a team. Because, like, one will come at you like, hey, man. And then you pull it off to the other side. And then another crow comes and will attack from the other side as you're holding it away.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, you're just walking down the street with a burrito under your shirt. talking to people like, listen, I don't normally keep a burrito under my shirt. It's just like I was getting chased by crows earlier. They're like, go back in your tent, buddy. Jeez. How was the 420 show?
Oh, man. It was amazing.
Is it? They're fun. I mean, the audiences are awesome.
Yeah. And I, you know what? What's so good about the 420 show is I was talking to another comedian about it. It's a group of people who, you know, are marginalized, and there's a show for them.
You mean pot smokers?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, anymore.
Yeah, not anymore, but you know, like, it was always so, like, you smoke weed? You smoke weed?
Oh, dude, next time I want to smoke a joint, like, before dinner with my family at the table, and Amanda says something to me, I'm going to be like, you're marginalizing me.
I hope it works.
It definitely will not.
What's always funny to me is that because I hosted 2022 and Tyler never gets like a full Spokane crew together for the show.
It's hard.
You know, so it was one, there was Blade Frank, my arch nemesis. He was on there. And then it was three comedians from Portland.
Yeah.
And which, you know, that's not, you know, they were amazing. There's nothing negative to say about that. It was just such a fun show. You know, people are so enthused. And I was like, man, I wish I could get this many people to come to.
I know.
To just my show. I would be in another tax bracket if I could get this many people.
He's doing it once a month. Yeah. He's bringing people, but it's taking him years to do that. But he puts on a showcase where it's all these other people.
Yeah.
No, I think it'd be cool to be able to put together a show where you're like showcasing people. And then when you headline, you market to that audience, you know, but shit, dude, that's a lot of work. And Tyler he's put in a lot of work to make that dope show what it is now. It's that 420 is like Black Friday to him. He sells out two clubs at least, and then does a giant like 700 person theater show.
Shit.
Who was the headliner?
Kyle Adams.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't that guy that looks like Weird Al.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I know him. Wow. Okay. I thought Doug Benson was coming out for the 420 show. I think he is for Tacoma and maybe that Everett. Everett Theater, but they didn't bring him to Spokane. Yeah, man, that weed show, it's the audience is just dialed in. I mean, he's getting audiences in the summer on a Sunday. I remember last year he hit me up and he's like, "Yo, man, are you available?" And I was like, "On a jet ski." I was like, "I mean, I can be, but I'm having a lot of fun right now." And he's like, man, it was really, I'm like, all right, I'll do it. You know, just put a little extra gas money on top because I literally got off a jet ski, came into town, did the dope show, and then scurried back up to the lake. And I think I still had time because they do it at 4:20 in the afternoon. I still was able to take another run around the lake with the jet ski.
That's what's so cool about it is that you walk in, the sun's out, you walk out, the sun's out. So it's like, yes.
Yeah. No, it's kind of nice. He just gets a plane back and forth then in one day.
Yeah.
He just commutes in the same day now. And it's also like a marketing thing. So like people are like, I'm doing the show at 4:20, dude. Or whatever. I can say that because I smoke pot. I can use that voice. You're not allowed to use that voice.
I'm going to talk about this on the podcast. Last week, I don't know if we talked about it last week, but I did shows in Tacoma, Six and Proctor.
Oh.
And I was supposed to be there Friday, Saturday, and then I was supposed to come over, do Sunday with a comedian called Comedic Cody. Or Cody Smith, I think that's his name. And after the second show Friday night, the manager comes, hands me an envelope, and was like, "Yeah, he wants to do more time So he just wants two comedians on the show. I was like, oh, all right, that sounds reasonable. And then I see the Instagram from one of the other two comedians from the Spokane show. And I'm like, huh, there's three comedians on this show. I don't understand what's going on. And fast forward to Thursday, I was in Yakima doing a show. And Bark Entertainment sends out their, you know, oh, we're looking for people to book these dates. And I, you know, said, oh, I'll do a couple if I'm not in trouble. Because I assumed, like, something must have, it must have been something else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I knew it was something else because it's like.
Yeah, it's pretty rare to switch up. Like, you would know at the first show. Like, you'd show up and they go, oh, we made a mistake at that first show. Yeah, so something happened.
And I got a reply back, said, hey, give us a call. And now I'm really nervous because I'm like, oh, what happened? So I called and I was told that comedic Cody took me off the show because he said I stole two of his jokes about a joke about knockoff Jordans and another joke about sex toys.
Yeah, sex toys is such a common premise. Like, how can you?
And so I don't want to say who told me this information, but they know me. They've known me since I've been doing comedy for like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So they didn't believe it. They were like, how does that make sense?
Well, it also doesn't make any sense, man. I mean, you're around some of the best comics in the country that they don't. I mean, if you're working with experienced, you know, you would have taken their jokes.
Yeah, something would have, this would have fallen apart a lot sooner.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
And, you know, I told them, I said, all right, my only mistake in this situation, because I did make a mistake, and my mistake was so at the first show, he does his jokes. And then at the second show, I mean, you know, when I go up, sometimes I don't go up with a set list.
Right, right.
I start talking, and then the pieces will fall into place. And that's what happened. And so I did my... We were poor, and so we got used.
I know the bit. Yeah, yeah.
I did that bit at the arena that previous week.
Yeah, no, I've seen you do that bit before. Yeah. So that's not a bit that you would have taken from him, but
and it has nothing to do. Yeah. His bit is there's Air. No, they're not Air Jordans. They're Air Gordons. That's the end of his bit. My bit goes into like.
Being poor and having to walk in Payless shoes. Yeah. No, I know the bit. And then, that's reaching. Well, also, though, like, that is the benefit of just sticking to the same set for a weekend, though, because then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was my mistake. My mistake was not taking what he had done into account and just not doing that stuff. And then they said some other stuff that I was like, that doesn't even sound true. Like, he said, I came into the green room and didn't greet him, which was an outright lie. That was an outright lie. I walked in, put my bags down, said, hey, how you doing, man? Harry, you know, and then I asked him like right after that, like, hey, does anything you want me to not do any subjects or anything? He was like, nah, man, go for it. And so, you know, talking to the person, we kind of surmised that because he's a TikTok star, he expects people who are featuring to be like awestruck.
Yeah, like Kiss the Ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
to
yeah.
me, it's just another weekend where I'm just trying to, all I was doing really, and this sounds so stupid, all I'm trying to do is cover the cost to go to a tulip festival.
I know, man. The people that shoot into show business like a rocket, they're like, you know, I've had an agent for 2 years and they said if I don't start making them money, then they're not going to represent me to try to go to this production company and pitch a reality show or whatever bullshit.
2 years.
The guy's been doing comedy 2 years.
2 years. Yeah. I'm like, dude.
So that's not railroad hardened.
I'm like, dude, I could dog walk you right now.
Yeah, this dude hasn't even been... been booed yet.
Yeah, man. I mean, and so I sent him a message, and I told, you know, I didn't, you know, of course, you, dude, I did my best feel.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Like a businessman, not an idiot. And I was like, look, man, you know, we just got similar jokes. I'm sorry that I did my bits.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, when you... Cause you know, he's 2 years, that time he has is the time he has.
Yeah, for sure.
He has nothing else to pull from.
Yeah.
And so I apologize for that. And, you know, I was like, you know, I just kept it like that. And, you know, he never replied, but, I was offended more than anything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, if it was like a real road hardened comic, like if it was a Jessica Kirsten or a, you know, or a Dan or someone like that, then I could see being like hurt. But other than that, I mean, you know, when I was going to the club and I said, I'm looking for spots. So I'll open for any of these, you know, cause they usually give these comics. I think they did this for Cody too. Like a year ago, they just wanted to they test out ticket sale ability. So Wednesday, Thursday, I mean, just an off night, Monday through Thursday or a Sunday, they'll give it to them. If they do well, then they'll give them a weekend.
Yeah.
It's a pretty I mean, a lot of clubs are doing that now because it's like, well, shit, like, what does it hurt us to cancel the open mic on a Tuesday and see if this TikTok guy with a million followers can.
Fuck
yeah. So I've opened for quite a few of them. And, you know, usually it doesn't feel like stand-up comedy. Usually it feels like an impression of stand-up comedy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I mean, there's been guys where I showed up. And they were like, you know, I was like, hey, will you middle for this guy? And I'm like, cool, I get to do a spot on a Wednesday and get to work on some material. And this always happens where I show up and the place is like lined out around the corner. And I'm like, well, shit, I got to actually do good. Like, I can't just do this 10 minutes I'm screwing around with. And so then I'll do it. And then I remember one time I showed up and they were like, can you do 35 to 40? And I was like, do we not have an MC? And they're like, no, the MC has to do 15. I'm like, what is this guy doing? They're like, well, he only has 30. I'm like, this dude is making like $3,000 on an off night because he sold the, you know, and he's only coming here with 30 minutes, dude. That's wild.
Man, you better put another 100 on my.
Yeah, I know. So I was like, whatever. And it's weird because the audience laughs different than a normal stand-up show. They're like. Mm-hmm. They're like, these jokes here are all coming fast, you know, like, like they don't know how to handle it. And then, you know, it's also, I had this one guy one time, and it's funny because sometimes these like social media famous people, I mean, there's some like JP Sears or like that Ginger Billy guy.
Yeah.
You're like, I go to their Facebook and I'm like, oh, I get it. Yeah. He's doing sketches. He's a goofy redneck reality guy. I mean, there's a lot of them where you're like, I go to their social media and I'm like, okay, maybe it's not my thing or whatever, but I get how they got a fan base.
Yeah.
There's been a couple that I've opened for and I'm like scrolling like a year and a half. And I'm like, what do they do? They just post pictures of themselves and are young. Like I don't, and I'm like, was this person on the Disney Channel? Like, I don't get what content they're getting famous from. And you know, I mean, one guy, I was like, I didn't get it. And then I went on Twitter and he was on Theo Vaughn. And I was like, how does this guy even get on Theo Vaughn? You know, and
I think it's one of those, it's just a circular thing where everybody's basically trying to improve their
social media. Yeah, for sure.
So you're basically just trying to get, everybody's trying to nibble at everybody else's.
But there's always something though. Like my son will be like, oh, you should check out this guy. And I'll look him up on Instagram and it's like, I don't know what this is. Yeah. And then he'll be like, no, he's got like he's got like all these songs on YouTube under a different name. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I don't know. I never delved that deep, but I remember watching this guy do stand up. I cannot remember his name. He had a million followers on Instagram. I mean, that's a shit ton, dude. You can become wealthy with a million followers on Instagram and TikTok, not so much, but I was watching his stand-up and it was like he had the jokes, but it just felt very coached.
Oh,
do you know, like it just felt like, And he, like you said, like this, he was just doing a script.
Yeah.
You know, and it was not well developed. You didn't learn much about him. It was very like superficial type material. And I remember just being like, ah, yeah, this isn't very strong, you know? And before the show, he was like pretty nervous, you know, and he was just on a string of one nighters and he was making bank, but it was one of these things where it's like, I'm sure there was management that was like, this is a form of going to clubs is a form of income. So you need to get 45 minutes together.
Until we can get you into that reality show or television or movie, this is how you get paid, which gets us paid.
Right. Get your ass in Diddy's house and get diddled by Diddy so we can really make some real money off you. Otherwise, go to these comedy clubs. But yeah, it was funny. I remember I watched 15 minutes of it and I was like, yeah, I don't think this is going to really get better. And,
I mean, a lot of these guys, I haven't seen them come back to the club. I haven't seen a good amount of these guys back at the club.
Well, this, you know, the sad thing is you know, they're a little, you know, so a lot of the people that are chasing show business that are not, I mean, there are legitimate stand-up acts that then find something on social media that clicks, whether it's their stand up or them just making fun of videos or, you know, doing just making funny videos. And you can always tell who that person is because they're like so grateful they finally have an audience, you know, but the people who are chasing showbiz and then just use, it's like they're using comedy clubs as like, well, I guess this is what I have to do. And I don't know this comedy Cody guy, if he really is a stand up or not, but it just feels like sometimes it's not like they're not chasing their passion. They're either chasing a paycheck or they're like, maybe if I do these clubs, it'll give me exposure to like real America. And I'll get to then, you know, then I'll have name recognition and I'll get launch my YouTube channel or my, you know, whatever, I'll get a vehicle behind me. Yeah. But it's so I think a lot of times they don't give a shit, you know?
Yeah.
But this guy, I watched 15 minutes of his stand up and I was like, I don't need to see this. I left, came back for the last 5 minutes. And the manager, I was like, how's it going? The manager was like, this is legitimately the worst show we've ever put on here.
Damn.
And then this was the crazy thing. So this is a young guy, has a million followers. So a ton of like young people in the audience. And I was selling merch, but he wasn't next to me. He was on the stage. And so people would come up to me and they'd be like, oh, when is he coming down here? I was like, no, there was an extra ticket for $45 if you wanted to have like the VIP experience where you got a picture with him. And he only sold like 6 of them.
God damn.
You know, and
at that point, just give people their money back.
Yeah. Well, and that was the funny thing. So there's 6 people that paid the $45 to be able to take a picture with him or whatever, you know? And so I had to break that news to like multiple people. And I mean, most of them, one guy said this, he goes, I had to sit through all that bullshit and I don't even get the goddamn pictures. That's why I came here. God, like it was damn. Like, yeah, it was so funny. They're like, they're like, the only reason a lot of people in that audience came was because they could be like, I saw this internet famous guy.
Yeah.
I mean that, you know, which is true for a lot of acts, I think, but yeah, it's very weird. I don't know. I mean, and that guy, like, I mean, I guess he's funny. I think he tours now. Maybe he figured out his act, but like, I don't know. Maybe he was having an off night. I have no clue, but like that, this whole conversation is why I have a ton of respect for, you know, Trevor Wallace.
Yeah.
The White Claw guy.
Mm-hmm.
No laws when you're drinking claws.
Yeah.
That guy, it blew up with sketches and shit. But he did not tour for like a year after he could have totally sold out because he was already working hard to create a 45 minute act.
Yeah.
But he just pounded away and created a good maybe it wasn't even 45, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And then he took friends of his who were more experienced comics to come open for him. And so then when he went out though, dude, they couldn't stock enough White Claws and they couldn't put enough seats in these venues. He did one round of clubs and I think he was basically in theaters after that.
And he was
making bank at those clubs. I mean, I remember doing the House of Comedy in Minneapolis like a week after he came and I was like, oh, Trevor Wallace here. Yeah, I've seen his videos for a long time. How how was it? And he was like, dude, we sold out. Because they do Wednesday, Thursday, two on Friday, two on Saturday, and Sunday. Damn. So you do seven shows. And a lot of times the Wednesday one's canceled.
Yeah.
And they said every single show, all seven shows got sold out. And they were like, by Thursday, we were out of White Claws.
Fuck.
Damn. So I was hitting up the owners of the Spokane Comedy Club when I saw he booked. And I was like, yo, man, from what I hear, like, stack the storage room as high as you can with White Claws. Tell your distribution guy, man, you're going to move. Because that's what happens. They sell buckets of White Claws at his shows, and they cannot keep them in stock.
God damn it,
isn't that hilarious?
That is, isn't it just so fascinating how humanity works when it comes to this type of shit? Because, you know, there's probably 20 people who were doing White Claw bits before this guy.
Yeah, but he was, ain't no laws when you're drinking the claws. He said that in a sketch, and it became so viral that White Claw was going to try to sue him. And then they were like, whoa, maybe let's just let this ride out. And it helped make not just White Claw. I mean, there's Tropicana has a seltzer line now. Dude, their seltzer is like the biggest shit in the world. And
this is insane.
Yeah, it's wild, dude. I mean, in the summertime by lakes and stuff, like you when you're going to a gas station, like the amount of, I don't even know what White Claws, I mean, I guess they're seltzer. Yeah, you call them seltzers. Like, those would have been wine coolers 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Just less sweet wine coolers. I mean, I drink them. I think they're great. I like them. But it's just like a whole nother vice now that we get to have.
I just, you know, we're all chasing, well, some of us, Phil has decided not to chase. But everybody's, you know, is like, man, I just want to be able to walk into a building and have people come to see me.
Yeah, but anybody who has that has put in a lot of work to make that happen. I don't know anybody who just was like, all I did was show up to the shows and then everybody started coming back. No, they're making insane Facebook posts every day.
Yeah.
They're just, you know, it's like, I mean, there's a point where I'm like, man, I should be making a bunch of posts, and I'll make like three posts, and I'm like in a month, and I'm like, man, this is ruining my life.
Like what kills me is when you'll see somebody like Tom Segura or the other guy who takes his shirt off. It's like, man, I'm not doing enough shit in a day to have someone go to for me to go, yeah, I should let people know that this is what I'm doing. To me, that feels very selfish to be like, look, I'm at the airport. I'm not coming to your town, but I'm going to a town. To me, I'm like, that feels weird to me. But people are doing that, and people are, you know, ingesting it. When I was at the Tulip Festival, there was hundreds, probably thousands of people out there. 90% of them just wanted photos of them, like, surrounded by tulips.
That makes sense.
Me, I'm the only one there, like, I'm trying to get inside the bulb. Everybody else is just like, and I'm talking about black, white, Indian. The whole swath of the human race was out there just in the fucking tulip field. And it's for Instagram.
Yeah, you know, have you ever seen like a family try to pose in front of something and be like, oh, I'll take your picture so you guys don't have to do a selfie thing?
Yeah.
Man, you at the gym when chicks are trying to take a picture of their butt in the mirror? That you can't do that. And that's not... Anyway, that just reminded me of that.
You know what you need? You need a power pose. Let me get up under your taint.
Straddle my face. That'll be a good...
Like, all right. So I can understand why fitness influences and stuff how they get popular.
Yeah.
Especially the women. They have amazing bodies. They show their bodies. That gets a lot of views.
Yeah.
But then, you know, there'll be comics and they will post weekly, sometimes 2-3 times a week, of just them saying random things to someone off screen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, who's watching this and saying good content?
Yeah.
That, to me, maybe it's because I'm a comedian.
Well, because there are people doing that in a way that is good.
Yeah.
And then so people try to emulate that.
Yes.
And it looks like shit. And yes. It's like, well, and that's like, I remember when I started, people were like, do not put your stuff on YouTube. Don't put your stuff on there because that's how you'll be judged by that before you're bookable. And now I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, dude. Let it fly. Let it rip.
Fucking put it all up there, man. Yeah, and just see what sticks. Because you never know. That one bit that you haven't fleshed out yet might get 20 million views. And now I'm opening for your ass. So, the best to do it, the best to do the talking to people in the crowd, Nate Jackson. Because
he's good.
Has multiple cameras. He has a cameraman behind him that scans and gets the audience member.
But you got to be doing gigs that'll pay for that shit. I mean, now you're...
like he wasn't going to Club 48 in Yakima, Washington with that setup. All right, that he's doing shit where it's like, oh, this is this building. This was the building the first black entertainer ever performed in. You know, like shit like that, and you know, so he can afford.
Yeah, yeah, you know, he's selling tickets.
Yeah, like he, dude.
Yeah, he's doing well.
Yeah,
yeah. They were doing a little bit of that Tulip Festival down where I was at Woodard, Washington. I don't know, Woodall.
That's where we probably should have went because Rosengard.
Yeah.
That was a nightmare. It took us 2 hours just to park our car.
No shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like that at the Tulip House in Ridgeview. But you know, it's funny. I was about to park my car and then I saw the price to get into this little property. And I was like, I bet I could just like stand on my bumper and get a good look at some of this shit. So I'm like in the parking lot, like craning, you know, and wafting lilac air into my nose. It's like I don't want to pay $15 just to walk in there by myself and be like, nice. These tulips rip, dude. All right, I'm going to leave now.
It was $17 and I was disappointed.
Really?
Because they said 50 acres and hundreds of varieties. But when I got in there, I'm like, I'm not good with measurements. This don't feel like 50 acres,
50
man.
Acres is pretty big, man. You're not going to walk around 50 acres. You go in there with a scythe.
Yeah.
If you show up with a scythe, would they let you in?
Now, this was not 50 acres, man. Maybe the whole property is 50 acres, but what had tulips on it? 3 football fields?
Oh, yeah, that's not even. And that might be an acre.
It was probably like 8 varieties. I was looking for like the black tulips and stuff, like the exotic tulips.
The Nubian tulips.
Yeah, I wasn't looking for like... Like, we all know white tulips and red tulips. Get those fucking things out of here. Where's the shit that the Nazis created? That's what I wanted to see. And I was with Shauna, and Shauna is allergic to walking. So it was like, man, let's go. Because I walk around, especially if I spent $17. I'm going to get my $17 worth.
$34.
Yeah, but when Shauna was like, I was like, I'm going to go around this way. She's like, but it's the same thing on that side. It's like, that's not the point of the tulip farm. The tulip farm, it's not that once you've seen one tulip on one side, you've seen it all.
Yeah, yeah.
And
if this was a naked lady farm, I'd be like, we are going to look at every naked lady.
Someone needs to create a naked lady farm. They could charge $200 and I would be there. I would get the season pass.
They would... It would have to be more than $200.
Yeah, because it's hard to grow up.
Yeah, it would be cool if they were all in like little pots.
Yeah.
With dirt around it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you could be like, what's your name? And she's like, Daisy. And you're like, that sounds fake.
I think that's the title of the I noticed something. Since we changed to these weird titles, the numbers have been going up.
Oh,
when
cool.
I was trying to be like, introspection on stand-up. It was like 12.
Yeah.
But then when I said toilet gator, it was like 109. I was like, are people like listening to the podcast to get like some help on the toilet gator that they have? Or were they like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, no, they wanted, that sounds engaging. So I hope you guys have enjoyed listening to this episode entitled Butthole Roulette. Just take a couple good words and put them next to each other, you know.
You got shows this weekend?
Yeah, Club Comedy. Club Comedy, and then out in Wichita, Vorshay's new club out there, that they're trying, it's 180 people now, but I guess they're trying to make it bigger. So after my show, they're going to be like, we definitely need a bigger space.
180. That's a nice little,
no, it's nice room. We got three shows. I'll be staying like on the same block. Oh, it's gonna be great. Ooh. Yeah. Even some of the staff from the old Wichita Loony Bin, I think, is working there.
Okay.
So yeah, it'll be good, man. I hope it goes well, you know. Is it funny? I have had this thought. I'm like, dude, what happens if I do so well? And then, like, get there and it's like, it does that well? I'll be like, how come I only move 50 tickets in Spokane? You know? So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But yeah.
I'll tell you why. Because Spokane doesn't cherish their treasures. You fuckers need to get out here and see our comedy before we die, and then there's a Tony Russell situation where the fucking club sold out, but he's not there to see it. Maybe you should have showed up when he was on a show.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe he wouldn't have put a gun in his mouth. You motherfuckers killed Tony Russell.
Did he put it in his mouth?
I don't know.
Ah, okay. that's a good way to end the show.
I know if I was committing suicide, I'm putting it in my ass. I'm shooting myself in the butt.
Oh, dude, that's the worst way to do it. You would be like, what have I done? And then it would just... You would have maybe, it would have hit your spine and now you're just paralyzed.
No, I'm going to just keep pulling the trigger. Just.
Yeah, but how are you going to do that if you're paralyzed?
Man, I'm not going to be like all curved.
And also, it wouldn't be instant. Even, let's say you did get a mortal wound. Now you're just bleeding out your asshole till you die.
Yeah.
That's like, that's if you put it in your mouth, that's actually, you don't die immediately. Like if you were to put it to your forehead, because then all you do.
Should we be giving our listeners tips on how to effectively?
Absolutely. The type of people listening to our show are the type of people who need tips on suicide. Right. listen, before you kill yourself, turn a podcast on repeat so we get more plays. Laying there in a pool of blood. I want to get some plays on this. If you put a gun in your mouth and shoot, a lot of times they can stay conscious, and the way you actually die is drowning on your own blood that's pouring down your throat. Yeah. Yeah. I have a buddy that works in an emergency room. And one time he was like, we should make it public knowledge on the best place to shoot yourself. Cause I have had people who they try to kill themselves, fuck it up so bad. And now I'm like, you really should kill yourself. Yeah, people do it on the temple and then just blow out their eyeballs and bones, and now they're blind and they don't know where to go for the gun store because they never had the blind training. You can't be a dude with a hole in your temple and no eyeballs being like, where's the gun store? No, people are like, you don't need that. Dude, what are you going to shoot at? Sounds?
God damn it. I'm so glad we're not sponsored by anybody.
We are. We're sponsored by Ace Hardware Suicide Bullets.
Guys, I will be at the Upper Left Comedy Fest.
Ooh.
25th, 26th, 27th. I'm going to be at Phil's show one of those days, or maybe both of those days, if Rick will let me in. So I'll be around. I will have my panhandler sign to make a little bit of extra cash. So if you see me, drop me a couple nickels. Keep listening to the podcast. Yeah, just do all the cool shit.
All right. Good night. And come out to a show. Love you.
Come out in Spokane. Stop being a bunch of big bitches and come see us.
You big bitch.